So my first question would be, in your opinion, who was George Vito and how did he come to be?
I have been here only for 15 years, so I didn't meet him personally. But I read him before I came here. He wrote as a book, or someone wrote a book about him called Walking Job. So he was walking to check about the prisons all the time. There's another book by Diu Liu, D-U-something. And he was a professor maybe 30 years ago at Princeton. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book called Governing the Prison. So he said there are three different prison systems, Texas, California, and Michigan. So Texas prison was very well managed. People are respectful because of George Vito. And California is a total mess. And Michigan is somewhere in between. And he said, that makes a huge difference. But the question here is, at that time, under George Vito, I believe, they implement that snitch system. So the snitch system is that 20% of inmates in control of the other rest of 80. And the building tender, the inmates, with his cell door were never locked. And basically inmates managed the inmates, and the rest of 80% really hated that. And that led to the Supreme Court rule to disabolish the snitch system in maybe late 70s, early 80s. And that led to the prison riots in New Mexico. Yeah, because the other 80 still remember that one. So the prison guard hostage and got the key, went into their special wing because they segregate. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, those snitchers would be killed. So they ransacked and tortured them, and maybe a dozen got killed.
And why do you think like George Vito had such a prominence in the prison system? Because like when his successor took over, it didn't work as well.
The snitch system. So after him, the snitch system, Right before he left, the snitch system collapsed. So that made a huge difference. If you ask me, George Vito would run the prison in 2020s, that would be the same issue.
So we wouldn't have like the same issues?
No. Yeah, we would have the same issue.
Oh, we would?
And there's a prison lawsuit. Graduate student I taught at class, she summarized the whole thing. It was called Luis versus someone, the warden or the director. And it was started in 80s. And it lasted almost for 20 years. There were issues about medical. There were issues about, overcrowding. There were issues about the food. So gradually, Texas invest a lot of money into that. So that changed the whole thing. The total demographics in Texas. George Vito will have the same problem. Mm-hmm. But he was lucky because it was the snitch. I believe.
And do you think George Vito would do a better job of running the prisons? Or like how would he do a better job here in the modern day system in comparison to when he was running it in 1960s?
I think it would be almost the same with the administrators today.
The same?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Because the environment is totally different. It's very different now. Mm-hmm. The dynamics different. And there are more lawsuits. So you can check, for example, in the 60s, you just check one thing. How many lawsuits pending against director, George Beadle. You check. If you can find any information on that.
There wasn't many. And I also do know that he was called the Walking George because he talked with the prisoners and he was very compassionate with them. He tried to get them education and he would get them into programs to make their lives better. And like we do have a lot of those systems in place today, but we still have a very high incarceration rate.
Yeah. When he was the director, that might... The population in early 1980s in Texas is only 40,000 inmates. Later, it was 150. And the Bob Hostin, I know him very well. He told me 20 years ago he was the warden who went to check out a loan from the bank. The bank denied him. So, and the bank said, you know, there are over 100 lawsuits pending against you, so we couldn't check, give you the loan. Otherwise, if one of those lawsuits win, we lose the money. And Bob Hostin told the banker, said, have you checked about, did you check, have you checked about my previous lawsuits already, you know, tossed out? Over 90 of those. So combined, there are 200 lawsuits against the warden. It was in 1990s, early 2000. Imagine, George Beadle. Yeah, so it was a totally different environment.
And I think like also, just like George Beadle, not only did, was there like a smaller population in comparison, we have a lot more demographics here, like we have a lot of different more races since the university expanded.
Yeah, George Beadle was at a time when the prison was about to change. It was about the Supreme Court rulings. A lot of, you know, some of the key rulings that affect the police, affect the prison. Before that, no. It was a warden, you know, if I you ask me when I would like to be a warden, I think a warden may have more autonomy, discretion in the 60s than now.
And why do you think that was? Just because of the policies that are in place now?
The policies in place and also the requirements. Give you an example. I visited the police departments and the rules and the policies are in place. The best are those county sheriff office. And you would say, hey, no, it should be the city. Why not? Why the county? Because the county runs the jail. If the jail is big enough, they have all the rules for inmates, like you know, how long they can sleep, what kind of nutrition they should have, and overcrowding issues. They have tons of rules, and that those rules spill over to law enforcement section. But police department don't run a prison.
And like, so George Beadle was not only known for running the prisons, but he was well known for academics. Why do you think he had such an impact on academics and education?
I think he's visionary, that is for sure. And he is also a priest, I believe.
Yes, he was a pastor for Columbia, if that's correct.
So he's very eloquent and he has a lot of, in Texas in the 60s, 70s, you need connections. So he had a lot of connections. People believed him. So I remember Dale Common, Professor Dale Common. He just passed away. There's a room designated for him called Dale Common Room. He told me, he said that George Beadle asked him in the 70s, early 70s. So you know, something about how much money do we need to create a program. He said $500,000. And he said, don't worry about it, I will get it. He knows, he knew exactly the strings to pull because he had the connections. Of course, his personality must be great, you know.
Not only was George Beadle, like, how did you think his experience, like, all his experiences contributed to creating the CJ system?
Wonderful. Very good. Because, do you know the CD building is built by inmates?
Yes.
Yeah. Everything is laid by inmates. I don't think anyone else will be able to mobilize the inmates to come here to build the whole thing. And I don't think today anyone would be able to request that or be get permitted. Because if inmates come here, get hurt, will be a lawsuit. And the work compensation will be a lawsuit. There will be a lot of lawsuits. But he had, you know, wonderfully manipulates all those to get it done. Very good, yeah.
And like, how did you think that he was able to obtain it in comparison to everybody else?
He was here long enough to make a difference. You should talk to his son, Beetle. And George Beetle has a scholarship.
Yes, I believe it was funded by the Houston Department, if I'm right. And they sponsor a student every year, every semester.
So, once every year, there's a ceremony to award the scholarships. George Beetle's son will be here. You can talk to him about his dad. I believe he was here as a faculty as well. George Beetle's son. I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just.
Why are you interested about George Beetle?
So I'm taking a seminar for my honors class, and it's about history. And I was very interested in the history of the CJ system, how it came into place, and like George Beetle, he has the entire building named after him. And so I did a bit of research on him.
Yeah.
You find out about all these different things that he's done. It's like, how could like this man do it? It's like he came from very humble beginnings. And he ended up being a prison director, an academic, an educator, and all these amazing things. Yeah. So why did you think that the CJ system decided to be named after George Beetle instead of
Jerry's? He was the founder, very influential, and the system worked very well. So he should be remembered. Yeah.
But then there's like two other, there's Templeton who helped him pass a law, and then there was Killinger who was a director. So why him instead of like the director?
Killinger, I think he's more well known than the other two. And also he bridged the practical side versus the academic side. And he set up the CJA. George Beetle Foundation. So we every year we invite two scholars to come here to lecture. So all those, he did it, yeah.
And then you said that he bridged the gap. So originally Sam Houston was known as a state college, a teacher state college. How did you think he bridged the gap between like being a teacher education center and then connecting it to become a criminology school?
I'm not sure. I did not know about that part of history. But I know the PhD program started in 70s or early 80s.
I believe it was 1971.
71, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he started the PhD program and then his ring watch. So in that way, he's visionary. He see the needs of that. And Sam Houston PhD program used to be ranked at the bottom nationwide. At that time, there were only about 20 PhD programs across the United States. Sam Houston maybe ranked 18th or something like that. Today, there are 43 PhD programs. Sam Houston is ranked number 15. Much better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he created that program, and it should be remembered, yeah.
And within George, Walking George, it stated that he like laid the foundations, and he also wrote legislation, had one of his friends pass the legislation.
Yeah.
So why were they so passionate about starting a school in criminology and penology when like this was like the very first school that started this?
Yeah, so I think people believe me. Mm-hmm. He used his influence as a director of prison.
Mm-hmm.
He knew those legislators, and they, you know, bought his view. So would pass anything.
Why do you think like Sam Houston was like an ideal place to start a school of criminology and peniology?
In Texas, only Texas. I think no other major university, at that time, criminal justice was a very minor in sociology. So for example, UT, Austin, Texas A&M, all have sociology programs, but none of them are really interested in criminal justice. I think that George Beadle found a niche and put it here. Even, you know, after how many years, 40 years, 50 years, Sam Houston program is the largest in the nation and largest in states. Then you have other criminal justice programs, including UT Dallas, Texas State University, at San Marcos, and Texas A&M International University at Laredo. All three have PhD programs. Plus at San Antonio, you know, there are maybe 10, 12 criminal justice programs, but this one I believe is the first.
And why do you think it's like one of the most prestigious? Was it because of George Beadle's influence, or do you think there's more to it than just?
It is the size, the faculty who contribute. You needed people to publish. So now the program has 3,000 undergraduates. So we have about 35, 40 faculty members, which double the size of any other programs in the state. And we publish, generate more articles, more research than any other programs.
Yeah.
But he founded that. That's very important. Yeah.
And how do you think his leadership impacted our program?
I think his leadership basically set the foundation, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, pioneer the program, set foundation. Then, the others pick up that. Yeah.
And then why do you think George Beadle decided that a school of criminology was so important when it's been overlooked for hundreds of years?
Before, there was not criminology, criminal justice. there was no criminal justice. Criminal justice program maybe started only in the 1940s, 50s. And the first criminal justice master program started in 1950 in Washington State University. So it's sociology has a history over 150 years. So criminal justice has a very relatively short history. But with the crime and the issue, or the apprentice of criminal justice agencies bloomed in the 60s, 70s. Criminal justice program has become more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
it is the time, I think, dynamics.
Was it because like the war on drugs kind of spurred on people to look more into criminal justice?
Yeah, one of that was the war on drugs, war on crime, war on poverty, and then you have the there's a federal government called the criminal justice assistance program. Mm. Federals invested billions of dollars into that. So it gives local law enforcement a boost in the early 70s. Yeah.
Do you think that makes Sam Houston a better criminal justice program, or what would be some improvements to make it a better criminal justice program?
Now, I think maybe more resources, always resources. You have seen, I've been here for 15 years. The campus building, maybe half of those are new ones. Our building could be the one of all this. Yeah, even though by inmates, but still, you know, if they can rebuild the whole thing, that'll be good. And also hire more experienced faculty members.
So do you mean like more experience as in?
Full professor with a national recognized name, yeah.
So not just like professors, but more people like in the legal system or in the correctional system, like within the system, not just academics, like a combination of
both. Academics. But we have a very good working relationship with TDCJ. So it's really good and to work with them. And we have a faculty who is the research director of CIMIT. CIMIT is the Texas Correction Institutions. It's housed in our college. And they always provide trainings to law practitioners. And we work with the Texas prison system, survey of inmates, or things like that.
Thank you so much, Dr.
Oh, you're welcome.